Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. Today is Thursday, September the 17th, 2015. And Yona's on a break this week. Second week that she's taking a break. She's got some personal stuff to deal with. And we're looking forward to getting her back because she always has some great stuff for us with all the research she's doing. But we have a very special guest joining this week. His name is Jelani Latif. He's a rapper from Chicago. And the first thing that may be on your mind is, Walt doesn't like rap. Why is he talking to a rapper? I mean, not only do I not like it, I don't even know anything about it. I never listened to it. But this guy is different, I tell you, because he has chosen to put out material that takes on a positive bent, that actually goes after the idea of positive psychology, the law of attraction, turning lemons into lemonade, all that kind of thing. And that's just such a unique and novel theme that I figured I got to find out more about who this guy is. So let's bring him on here. Jelani Latif, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Walt. I appreciate it. And hopefully, by the time it's over, I'll turn you into a bona fide rap fan.
All right. That sounds like a challenge. Let's see if you can do it. That sounds good. So, all right. Well, first of all, let's talk about you for a bit. Tell us, I know you're from Chicago, but fill us in a little bit on your personal history and, what makes you go and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I've been on the local music scene, or I had been on the local music scene for a good period of time, and it's funny because now, because we're in the social media age, I feel like you kind of date yourself if you say you were around before there was a Facebook or, before YouTube or things like that. But the fact of the matter is I've been around since the days where, in order to get yourself out there as far as music, you had to do hand-to-hand distribution, you had to either press up cassettes or CDs, or whether you did it at home or you sent off for it, and you had to actually get out there and distribute.
Oh, you said the cassette word. That definitely dated you, man.
Yeah. So I was around at that point in time, and back then it was about trying to get a record deal. I did the local talent shows. I even, at one point in time, was linked up with a company, and we actually toured back when Nickelodeon had this show called Keenan and Kale. They were pretty popular, So we were opening act for them. So I actually got to do stadiums and things like that at that point in time.
Is that fun? I got to ask you.
Yeah. That was pretty thrilling.
I can imagine. How big of a crowd are we talking about?
Well, it ranged anywhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people.
That'll get you going. That'll get your blood going.
Yeah, and I mean, for a local guy, that was pretty intimidating at first, but definitely a thrilling experience. Even though they were really there for Keenan and Kale, but we kind of
but that's the nice thing about being the warm up. When you're the warm up, they don't expect anything from you.
Right.
So if you do anything right, all of a sudden you've won.
Well, we never got booed.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So as time progressed, the company I was with, I was actually signed to a different management company. We just had a difference in opinion in terms of what direction to go next. So eventually I was let out of that contract and just trying to plan my next move. And around that time, I had actually got married kind of young, and we were expecting our first child. And it was a complicated pregnancy, so that brought on a lot of stress itself. So I had to focus on, regular 9-to-5 stuff. I couldn't really fit music into the picture at that point.
Sure, family.
Yeah, so we were fortunate enough where everything went okay with the delivery, because they actually gave my daughter a 50-50 chance of even being born. So, I mean, you can just imagine the stress of going through that. So she was born healthy. I'm really thankful for that. 6 weeks later, after she was born, my then wife found out that she had cancer.
Oh.
Yeah, so that brought on another level of stress, another level of, you know, just not knowing what was to come next. And unfortunately, I would say less than 2 years later, as a matter of fact, a week before our daughter's second birthday, she lost her battle with cancer.
Oh, that's crushing.
Yeah, so it left me in a really empty space. But having a daughter, having a newborn, basically, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to feel sorry for myself, so I had to plan my next move. And so, you know, after just doing some self-reflecting, I decided that, you know, I needed to move forward with the mission and with my passion, but at the same time making sure that I'm doing right by her. And so that's the origin of Manhood ENT. I decided that if I was going to continue to do music, that I wanted to do something more meaningful. Before that, I did a lot of the playful stuff. I was never into the gangster rap. That's just not who I am. But, you know, there was a level of aggression, still is to a degree, to the music that I make. But now the music was more focused. And so Manhood ENT was born out of that because, I mean, you don't hear a lot of stories about single fathers. At that time, I was a single father. And I used that to kind of build the message because I want to be viewed in a positive light. I want young boys to definitely see that as an inspiration. You know, a lot of times we're only shown one type of male figure in terms of in entertainment and just in the media in general, because, of course, the media tends to feed off of negativity.
Oh, absolutely. And you raise an interesting question here. Why is it that we don't see more about single fathers? I mean, because you're right, that's a very rare meme. You don't see that very often.
You know what, and this is just my opinion and my view on media in general, the narrative, negativity seems to be what people are drawn to. I mean, if you look at reality television, the reality shows outside of maybe the American Idol and Dancing with the Stars kind of stuff, if there's no fight scenes involved, if there's no bickering, it tends not to be popular.
It's true.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was at the gym earlier. And so they had the TVs on, and I was watching, I wasn't watching, but it was on, an episode, I think it was Maury Povich. And I don't know if you noticed, but there was one point in time where his show had more variety of topics. But now he's kind of gotten pigeonholed into this whole, let's see if you're the father kind of thing, because it seemed that that's what people were drawn to.
Which is sad, but it's also, I think, a commentary, perhaps, on where our society is at as a whole. I don't mean just segments of it. I mean the whole society, because we live in a very dysfunctional world. And,
exactly.
And I think that's what people are reacting to, responding to in the entertainment. In addition to the fact that whenever you start on negativity, and we're not going to stay on negativity here because that's not what we're about, but
right.
whenever you start on negativity and you stay in that realm, you're always looking for a little more negativity to make your own negativity look not so bad and feel better.
Which is
why people listen to that, I think. I think that's why they watch this kind of entertainment, because it's, well, at least my life isn't that bad, you know?
Right. And we're just fascinated, I guess, by other people's hardships. And I don't know. We're just, by nature, it seems, drawn to negativity. And it's one of those things where some people say, well, are you drawn to it just because that's what all they show, or do they show it because that's all you want to see? I don't know the answer to that question, but
well, I think perhaps part of it is we are programmed throughout all of our society, and not just in entertainment, but through all aspects of our society. I mean, from the moment that we're born and that we're starting to learn how the world works, what's the most common word we hear? No.
Right.
We hear
that's
it all
true.
The time, you know? Regardless of whether we're coming from a more functional background or a less functional background, we still hear no all the time. And hear variations of that as we're growing up.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that, but you're right. I think about that with my own child.
Yeah.
That, you're right. You know, you throw the no word out there a lot, and that becomes one of the first words they learn.
Absolutely. And they learn it very well.
Yeah. So, but to get back to what we were talking about, so for me, I know it's more of an uphill battle, and I don't expect to be this one individual that somehow offsets all of the negativity and the type of images that you know, we're being programmed to see. But I do want to present myself as an alternative to that.
Well, you have gone through certainly plenty of pain in your life. I mean, your story is in some ways a tragic story. It's an interesting choice for you to make, and it's one that I certainly applaud, and I know that my listeners applaud. But how did you come to that? Because it's not a common reaction for somebody to go through all that much pain and say, you know what, I want to put out positivity.
Well, you know what? I have a small circle of friends and people who kind of went through the experience with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm somewhat introverted in terms of I don't really share a lot of my personal business in real life, or at least at that time I didn't. Mm-hmm. But what I found out after, you know, I began to sort of recover from the experience, I had personal friends of mine who said, you know what? You don't know this, but you've been an inspiration to me, because almost to the point you said earlier, people look at their own situation and say, well, it could be worse. But they were watching how I was handling the situation and trying to be, you know, responsible and trying to stay positive about it. And they were influenced by it without me having to say to them, you know what, this is what you need to be doing, or this is how I'm dealing with it. And so it made me realize, okay, if people are observing that and finding inspiration from it, then maybe I can take it a step further and sort of put the message out there. And so that was just, it was one of those things where it wasn't something that I initially thought about. It was just me sort of reflecting. Like I said, I went through a period of reflecting, you know, on everything going on. And that was just one of the things that came out of it. It was more than one individual that said that to me. And so I was like, you know, this is a good platform and a good direction for me to go with the music, because now I have something that I really feel like I can say.
But it's not the
most popular thing. I don't think it.
Well, maybe not, but it's such an interesting choice, because you could have chosen almost any direction now that you had that platform, but you're drawn to it, I gather. I get the sense that this is an important theme to you, and it makes me wonder, that theme, what is it about positivity and positive psychology that appeals to you so much?
Well, you know what? A big part of it has to do with being a father.
Ah.
And, you know, wanting to for my child to grow up, you know, in an environment where she sees positivity. I mean, early on, this is something that she's going to deal with the rest of her life, knowing that her biological mom is no longer here.
Sure.
So it's like I had to play these two roles. I felt like I had to compensate for what she's going to be missing, you know, from her mother, or was going to be missing from her mother. And it was just important to me that she saw me in a positive light.
So certainly your daughter plays a major role in that decision. Anything in terms of what it does for you?
You said, what does that do for me?
No, I'm saying, is there anything in terms of why you decided to focus on the positive psychology in terms of what it does for you?
Well, it started, again, with my daughter, but also, you know, and I'm speaking as a black male, you know, that's one of the areas where, you know, we're falling short in terms of male role models, positive male role models. And, you know, there's so many young guys who grew up without a father figure in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it started just with me looking at my own situation and thinking about my child. But looking at it, you know, on a larger scale, I just feel like that's something that was out there missing, you know, and especially when you listen to a lot of the hip hop and what they choose to give them in terms of representing what hip hop is, because there's a lot of positive rap music out there. Let's not, you know, get it confused. It's just that because it's not the more popular thing, it doesn't get as much exposure and push.
Is it because it's positive that it doesn't get the exposure, do you think, or is it other reasons?
I think that's a big part of it. I think that's a big part of it, is that the negative images, the negative imagery, that aggression, that anger, that seems to be what the powers that be cater to for whatever reason.
Well, probably because they figure that's where they're making the most money, because that's what they're really driven by.
Yeah. So, it's just me trying to put myself out there as an alternative for people to say, well, yeah, there's that, but then there's also this.
Now, when you formed Manhood ENT, I mean, that was both a gamble, because now you're out on your own. You have to do all your own publicity, promotion. You have to build up your brand. You have to do all the stuff that a label would normally do. And, oh, by the way, you have to pay for the recording studio and for mixing and print. Well, not so much printing anymore because most of it's digital these days. But still, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot that's involved there. And I guess the thought in my mind is that can be either a positive or a negative depending on how you handle it, because it can be overwhelming, but it also gives you a lot of control.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. That, those are the pros and cons. On the downside, you are required to do a lot more and be a lot more involved, a lot more hands-on. And that can get stressful at times because, you know, people's attention spans these days is a lot shorter when it comes to music, you know.
And I think it's when it comes to almost anything, actually.
You're probably right. Definitely in music, though, so it's not one of those things where you could put something out there and then just kind of kick back and let it do what it's going to do. You have to constantly stay in people's presence and be, you know, in front of them. And so that does require a lot of time and energy and effort. But on the positive side, like you said, the control, because I'm pretty sure that if I was signed to a major label, they would say, okay, you know, we understand what it is you're trying to say in your music, but we need more of this or that. Because they're going to go off of what the trends are, what's the more popular.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've done 3 albums so far. Are they all under your label?
They're all under my label.
They are, okay. How have they done?
So far, I would say I've gotten the more critical acclaim than the actual, sales. I mean, major artists aren't selling as well in the digital era as they used to. So, you know, it's a building process for me. But the critical claim is there, meaning the people that have listened to it, that have given it a chance, have all seemed to be very appreciative of it. And,
okay.
You know, I'm still learning as I go in terms of how to make the sound more appealing, keep the message the same, but make it sonically more appealing so that, more people will at least give it a chance.
Well, you were going to try to make me a rap fan instead of somebody who knows nothing about it. So tell me about that side of it. What are the tricks of the trade, so to speak, to make stuff more appealing?
Well, with hip-hop and with rap music, it starts with the beat.
That makes sense, because that's what comes through loudest and strongest and most powerfully.
Exactly. And, I mean, there's a sound of hip-hop that they label it underground because it's more of a drum and bass kind of sound, you know. It stems from the 90s era where hip-hop as a whole was mainly an underground thing.
Right.
Once it kind of pushed through into the mainstream, then it became more about making music that's more danceable, you know, and things like that. So with the music that I'm doing now, that's what I try to do first, is bait people in with it sonically, with the beat, with the rhythm. Is it something that, you know, it feels friendly? It doesn't feel so abstract that you can't find the groove in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've gotten them there, then you can inject your message.
And let's talk about the message, because, I mean, like you said, I think you call it the gangster rap, and I've heard that term before.
Yeah.
That has a very definite connotation in the minds of anybody, whether they're part of the normal rap audience or outside or whatever. It's pretty much what everybody stereotypically thinks of rap being.
Right.
But a positive psychology rap, that, like you say, it's not as popular, so it's not something that certainly I know with anything about. I've never heard of anything along that line. How do you do that? How do you make a positive psychology message in a rap venue?
So what they call that, and I mean, you know, personally, I don't like the labels they put on music, because I think it puts people in a mind state before they've even heard it.
Well, maybe you got to help me change the label then. Give me some better labels.
Well, yeah, but for the sake of this conversation,
okay,
just to kind of give you the feel for how this goes. So there's what they call gangster rap, or others call it reality rap. But then there's what you call conscious rap music.
Okay.
So conscious rap music is the music that tends to be just that, more conscious. It has a more conscious message in it. So if I were to be labeled, or if, you know, likely they would label me a conscious rapper, meaning the approach to it is to try to inject something positive. So when I started writing music in the aftermath of what I went through, it was geared towards my situation and trying to say, despite what I've gone through or what I am going through, I see a way out of this in a positive way. So I had a song called Forward Advance, and that, and in the chorus I'm saying I'm all about a forward advance, meaning I'm all about moving forward. I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to move forward because, you know, just because we choose to stop living, life goes on.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, life tends to move with or without you. The train is going to leave the station whether you're on it or not.
You know? You might as well get on the train because it's better that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's more possibilities there. You're not going to find much in stagnation.
Well, there are all the possibilities there. If you're not getting on a train, so to speak, if you're not taking some sort of step to try to make your life better, the only possibility is to make it worse.
Right. That's true.
I mean, really, is there another one that I'm missing?
No. I think you're definitely there. So, yeah. So once you kind of build the concept around, okay, this is what I'm trying to relay in a song. And like any other genre of music, then, okay, now I need to develop a hook because that's what people are going to likely remember the most, the beat and then the hook.
Now let's talk about the hook for a bit because, I mean, I'm from, like, the 70s generation, so that'll give you some idea of where my knowledge of pop music comes from. And there was some decent music in that era.
There was a lot of
junk music, too, but there was some good music.
No, I actually find more inspiration from music from, like, the 70s, 80s. But, again, that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know, I like depth. I like good writing. So regardless of what it is, it has to grab me there. I know, like, you know, we talked about for the most part, people are beat and chorus, but I'm actually personally as a fan into the lyrics, into the words. What are you saying in the song?
Okay, that makes sense to me.
So I have a song, in addition to Forward Advance, I have a song called Can't Stop Now.
Uh-huh.
And the chorus of that song is, since I made it this far, can't stop now. There's a will and a way, and I got to know how. So, reflecting on my personal situation, it's like, okay, I've been through some things, but I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. So is it true then that in rap, that, I mean, we talked about the hook for a second there, and I want to go back to that. The reason I even mentioned the 70s is because in the 70s, for me anyway, the hook was sometimes in the lyric, but more often than not, it was in the melody. And rap isn't really melody, so I'm wondering, is the hook in the lyric?
Well, yeah, the hook is in the lyric. I mean, you know, it's more popular now to put melody to the choruses. I'm not a singer, so that's not something I'm going to be to pull off at all.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could, you know, have a guest singer featured on it.
Uh-huh.
But if the hook is going to be delivered by me personally, then it's going to be rhythmic. It's not going to be melodic. It's going to be rhythmic.
Well, that makes sense. You want to stay within your what you can do, what's realistic for you.
Yeah. And not only that, but, I mean, there's a certain strength that comes from delivering a hook, you know, with a voice as opposed to singing. Because you're almost, you can almost put yourself in that person's shoes and you're saying it. So when I make a song like Can't Stop Now, anybody who's listened to the song can look in the mirror and they can repeat it and it can apply to them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that does reinforce the idea that the lyric is where the hook is, and what you're really projecting here is the idea that through the power of lyric, you can get your message out there and perhaps turn into something that's memorable, so that people, like you say, are repeating it into the mirror or repeating it as they're driving or whatever it might be.
Right. Exactly. So that's my personal formula. That's the type of music that I make.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm still interested, though, in the positive stuff and how that ties into putting your message out there. And one of the things I want to touch on is when we're talking about positive psychology here on the show, often Ioana will bring in some research that she's done. She's a PhD candidate in neurobiology, and you know she'll dig up all this great research that we'll talk about. But it always comes down to how are we actually applying these new concepts into our lives, and what kind of impact is it having on our lives? So the question I would have for you in that along that line is, you're putting out positive lyrics, you're pushing that as part of your message. What's that doing for you? How is that impacting your life for the better?
Well, for one, you know, when you put yourself out there in that regard, when you're saying these things, you know that people are going to be watching you to see if you really are reflecting what you're saying, if you're living with what you're speaking. So it keeps me honest in a sense.
Really?
Because okay. I know, okay, I put myself out there as this type of individual. I know that people are going to be watching me, whether they say it or not. They're quietly watching me. So it keeps me in line in that sense, knowing that I have an audience.
Interesting use of it. I mean, like, for instance, the reason I do this show is I love the feeling I get just by talking about positive stuff every mm-hmm. week. And mm-hmm. And so I can identify with what you're talking about. I never really thought about it in terms of sort of keeping myself in line. Although I will say, I'm you know, like anybody else, I can get into my little negative spirals.
Oh, absolutely.
And when I notice myself doing that, having the show as like a way to break up my week or a way to you know shift my attention so that I can break myself out of those negative spirals is a wonderful tool to have. And it sounds like you're kind of talking about the same thing.
Oh yeah, and you know it's good you mentioned that because music in general, especially the kind of music I make, is very therapeutic. It's a good way to sort of express whatever it is you're feeling and get it out there,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I sleep good at night knowing that I'm making music that reflects who I really am and my lifestyle.
Do you do what I do? Do you find yourself smiling for no good reason in the middle of the day because you do this?
Oh, absolutely. Not only that, but I have the benefits of being able to make a playlist when I'm in the gym and listen to myself. And say, man, this guy is really talented.
There you go.
Like, I did that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So, yeah, there's a lot of a positive. When you put out positive energy, I do believe that it comes back to you.
I think it does. I think it comes back in tangible ways that we don't normally even think about ahead of time. And then
right.
when it shows up, it's like, oh, yeah, I never
right.
really thought of that.
But to your point, you know, I do have, you know, points in time where I'm in a more, I don't want to say negative mind state, but I'm not always smiling. You know, I do get angry. I do feel sorrow. I do reflect on certain situations I've been through, and it's hard to smile at those. And because my music is so reflective of my experiences, it will come out that way. So if I'm not feeling good and I happen to make a song, it's going to reflect that, but at the same time, it reflects it. It's still an extension of who I am.
Oh, sure.
Meaning, even in my angriest state, I'm not talking about going out and killing people because that's just not who I am.
And I'm glad to hear that, by the way.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. Or I wouldn't be calling you from home anyway.
Probably
but,
not. No.
You know, so it's still an extension of who I am, but it's just saying, okay, he feels other types of emotions and he expresses it. You know,
and you're not afraid to explore the range of emotions. That's the one thing that always struck me about the so-called gangster rap. They're very emotional, but it's only one part of the emotional range.
Exactly. And I would be, I find it hard to believe that even with these individuals that they're angry 24/7. But
I suppose it's possible.
But,
and probably the more that they do it, the angrier they get, I would think.
But at the same time, we agree that they're making a lot of money. I mean, how can you
yeah.
be that angry when you go to your bank account?
Well, but we've seen it. I mean, all you have to do is look at the news media, you know, the National Enquirer or even Time Magazine or People Magazine, whatever, and all the different stars and all the different ways that the paparazzi are tracking the ways that they're screwing up their lives, they're drugging,
yeah.
they're drinking, they're whatever it is, you know? We see
yeah,
that all
true.
The time.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
So people
but,
live out their the stuff that they're playing in their songs and acting in their movies and all that good stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're all multi-dimensional individuals, you know, and that's just the reality of it. I've definitely been sort of disappointed in terms of someone maybe I looked up to that was an actor because you associate them with a certain role or character and then you find
yeah,
out
right.
in real life they're
yeah.
definitely not that person.
Not quite that person, no.
Yeah.
Although sometimes that's good considering some of the roles, but for the more,
for
the good roles, the ones where they're role models
yeah.
and then they fall short. That's hard for all fans, I think.
It is. especially if they've taken on a character that's sort of reoccurring, or you know, a lot of their work, you know, reflects it. Like television, I think for them, you know, you do a series for 10 years and you play this particular character, you as a fan have grown up on that. It's definitely hard to accept that that's not who they are 24/7.
Oh yeah, yeah, because not only does the character. Is the character owned by the actor? The character, in a sense, owns the actor. They're so symbiotic that you can hardly separate them in the public persona.
Right, right, right. And the same thing can happen in music, you know, if you allow yourself to be pigeonholed into one thing. So that's why, you know, again, there's a theme in my music, but I definitely cover a wide range of emotions and feelings and topics, and even own up to mistakes that I've made.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's also a relatively novel thing, isn't it? There aren't too many. We talked earlier about the lack of positive single father role models, and add into that the idea of people who are willing to own up to their entire emotional range.
Right.
Father, mother, I don't care who you're talking about. That's a rare thing these days.
It is. It is. But to me, the benefit to that is then, should you make another mistake, people don't look at you as being beyond that. You know what I mean? Because you've owned up to making mistakes. So they say, oh, well, yeah, he is a human being. He has admitted that, you know, he has these shortcomings. So it I'm not saying that it justifies it or excuses it, but it doesn't catch people so off guard that they're, you know, they're just totally destroyed by it. You know?
Well, also, I think it makes you look real and human. I mean, you mentioned what they call reality rap, and that doesn't sound terribly real to me. This sounds real to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Because we are human beings who have a wide range of emotions, a wide range of dreams and aspirations, pains, sufferings, joys, harmonies, loves, disgusts. I mean, we have it all.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's just about expressing it constructively.
Let's talk about the current album for a bit, because we really haven't given that full justice yet, although you gave us a taste, a couple of your more popular tunes. But
yeah.
Cold Days and Dark Nights. Now, when I first read about this, and this is what made me want to bring you onto the show in the first place, I saw the album cover. I said, well, that doesn't sound good. And then I see all this stuff about positivity. Okay, you got to tie that for me to tie that together for me, Jelani, because I don't get it. How do you get positivity out of Cold Days and Dark Nights?
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, this is actually the third project that I've released since I started my own company. The first two, they actually were called My Soul to Keep Part 1 and Part 2. Okay. And, you know, I told you, you know, we discussed what I had gone through. But while I did create the Manhood ENT imprint, I wasn't ready at that time to dive deep into my personal experiences or that experience, because I was still kind of raw in terms of going through it. So I made music that may have touched on it a little bit, but it kind of veered away from that. It was just soulful music, just something good for listening to, but not necessarily getting too deep into my situation.
Okay.
So fast forward a few years, and I'm really reflecting on the experience and everything that went into it. And one of the first songs I wrote kind of had a dark feel to it, in terms of it was me really expressing, wow, that was a tragic situation. And so after recording that song, it just felt like a thing to me to say, okay, let's talk about some of the more dark, I don't know if maybe I want to use the word dark there, but things that aren't so happy-go-lucky. But the key is to put a positive spin on it, in terms of, okay, this is the situation, this is the storm I went through, but I came out the other side. So I tried to put the album together to almost play out like a film, where it starts out where I'm in this dark place, and as the album progresses, it moves into a more positive note of saying, okay, I've gone through these things, but I'm still here. So Cold Days and Dark Nights is just me taking people through the experience that I went through. And along the way, I talk about a few other topics. Like, I actually have a song in there called Flashback, and it talks about domestic abuse. And it's a story based on an actual individual I knew who was involved with the guy who was unfortunately putting his hands on her. And you know, as a friend or a confidant, this is even before my own experience, so this is me kind of going back, but it fit the feel and the theme of the album. So it was me telling her that, you know, she needed to get out of that situation because it's not going to end very well if she continues to allow this to happen. So
right.
It fit the theme of the album because, again, it's a dark type of topic, you know, but something that's important to discuss.
I'll tell you, I'm glad to hear, first of all, that the way you describe the album in terms of it starts off with the dark and explores the difficulties and the pains and the sufferings you went through and what your friend went through and so forth, but you try to take it through the end to a more positive place. And
right.
I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for happy endings. So that part really appealed to me when I heard that.
Yeah. And that's where the Can't Stop Now, and, you know, since I made it this far, Can't Stop Now, that's where all of that comes from is, okay, I've kind of put out there the things that weren't so pleasant that I've gone through. This is how I dealt with them, and this is where I am now.
And where you are now sounds like a pretty good place, actually.
I can't complain. You know, there's still some things I would like to accomplish, but, put it like this. When I look back to where I was just, you know, 5 years ago, this is definitely a better space for me to be in. Not only do I have my daughter, but I am now the father of twins.
No kidding.
They're
congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, they're 8 months old. So, you know, that's a positive thing, you know, to see, you know, lives being brought into the world and knowing that you have the ability to shape and mold who they will become. You know, and I say this, you know, and I know this isn't a rap kind of thing to say, but I love the innocence of children because I look at them and it's like, wow, you know, they see things one way. They haven't experienced the hardships of life, you know, the stresses. So every day for them is a good day.
Oh, yeah.
A bad day for them or a bad moment for them is they're hungry.
Right.
What I would give for that to be the only problem I had and knowing that I could be fed just by crying.
That's right.
So it's not
true.
Hungry not knowing where my next meal is coming from. It's hungry knowing all I have to do is make this noise and food will come.
There we go. It's the magic food.
So, you Absolutely. Know, for me, things like that, you know, they definitely keep me motivated. And, again, you know, making the kind of music that I make and feeling good about it, whether it's the most popular, highest-selling project or not, doesn't really... The craft of it, you know, and I'm able to do it on my own terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so... Those kind of things, you know, it definitely keeps me in a positive space, and I have a lot more to look forward to.
You mentioned toward the beginning of the program that one of the reasons you decided to go in this direction with your career was because of your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, what kind of space is your daughter in these days?
She's in a great space. You know, she's excelling in school. She's actually reading at a two grade levels higher than the actual grade she's in. So
no kidding.
Yeah, she's a heavy thinker. You know, she's enjoying school, which is good. She has her extracurricular activities, the cheerleading, and all of those kinds of things. So she's doing very well. You know.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's excellent, and it actually reinforces the idea that when you focus on the positive, good things really do happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because I think that if I were in a space where, you know, I was constantly walking around either with a chip on my shoulder or constantly in a depressed mode, I definitely think that energy would have fed into her. And not only that, but I would not be able to do the things that I do to provide for her if I'm so stuck in my own feelings and stuck in this space, you know, where I'm not thinking about these things. But for me... You know, she's the one that made it. She's the one that gave me the strength to move forward because, again, it wasn't just about me. I just couldn't stop and feel sorry for myself and just sulk because there's another life, you know, in the midst of this, and
absolutely,
it's my responsibility to take care of her, so I couldn't sit on the sideline for too long, even if I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, and it sounds like you didn't want to anyway.
No, definitely not.
Now, you also mentioned twins, and I'm going to ask you about them in a minute, but twins implies you have a new lady in your life.
That is correct. That is correct. So, you know, another new beginning came out of it, and, you know, she is very understanding of the situation, didn't rush me into anything, you know, so things with us progressed very naturally, and she's, you know, been a positive influence on my daughter as well. So it's been all good in that aspect.
I find that happens very, very consistently. When you run into somebody who is positively oriented, invariably their spouse also is. Otherwise, the relationship just doesn't work.
Yeah, that would be very dysfunctional.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't last.
No, definitely not. But no, we're in a good place together, and again, she understands the situation and what I've gone through, and has been very supportive of me sort of rebuilding, and has been a part of that rebuilding process. So, yeah.
I know that with me and my wife, one of the cool things about our relationship is that even dealing with the negatives that happen, we try to maintain that same kind of positive vibe in our lives. And by doing that, we end up fueling each other and kind of pushing each other along and you know, enriching our lives as a result of the relationship. I imagine probably the same thing happens with you and your lady.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'm very supportive of her and her in endeavors and the things that she's trying to do moving forward. So we support each other. We don't get in each other's way. I mean, we may get on each other's nerves from time to time, but that's just how it is.
Yeah,
but
just happens.
We know each other's hearts,
and that's the main thing.
Yeah, and that helps. And we know each other's intentions. So yeah, I have no complaints in that area right now.
And then tell me about the twins. They must be a handful.
They are more than a handful. One of each. So I have a boy and a girl.
Oh wow, fraternal twins.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And like I said, they're 8 months, going on 9 months soon. So they're at the stage where they're crawling around. They're trying to get into things. So
I was just wondering how mobile they were. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take your eyes off of them
nope.
for more than 5 seconds. You know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but it, like I said, it's fun to watch, and I think that's part of the highlight of my day is just watching. You know, you just sit back and you observe, and you just say to yourself, "Wow, they're so happy."
People who know me often will remark on the fact that I love learning from kids, and I'll say that often. I mean, if you watch a kid long enough, you will notice all kinds of things that are not typically ascribed to young children in terms of the ability to discern, to understand what's going on, to have a gestalt, if you will, understanding that most adults don't think young children have. But those kids are they're more than sponges. They're intellectual sponges. They're able to absorb the world and turn it around intellectually and form a cohesive model of how things work and then spit it back at you and like, oh my God, where did that come from?
That's true, because just, you know, with my daughter, just thinking of where she was and the fact how she's able to articulate is why, like why she learned this language.
Yeah.
And how to use it.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty incredible in itself.
The other thing that I have long admired about children, young children, older children, doesn't matter, is something that I call the internal compass. And that internal compass comes out in positive situations. It doesn't come out very much in negative situations, because the child learns very quickly that they have to bury it, they have to hide it. But when they're allowed to explore, when they're allowed to be who they are and follow their own noses, so to speak, they demonstrate the ability to learn and to absorb and to grow in very rapid ways that we often can't even say how it happened. I mean, an extreme kind of story, and I've seen this a lot, is the kid who just, you know, does something that on a regular basis that, you know, the adults say, well, that's not really good for kids to be doing that. They should be playing video games all day or whatever it might be. And then after doing whatever the activity is for X amount of time, all of a sudden they announce that they want to do something else that requires a skill level that nobody knows that they already acquired, and nobody can figure out where they got it from.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about that, but you're right.
And it happens a lot. It happens a lot. To me, it shows just how wonderful kids are, because their ability to follow that compass, that compass is that internal guide that helps them find what they need to learn the most next. It's almost infallible if we don't get in the way of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I speaking as a parent, it's again, I'm always mindful that they're watching me.
Yeah. In fact, it comes back in ways that are. There's a joke that my wife used to work in daycare, and there's a joke that would go around the daycare community, which was a story of the little girl who was asked about the three lights on the stoplight, and she's asked, what does red mean? Red means stop. And what does the green mean? Green means go. And what does yellow mean? Yellow means uh-oh.
Because that's what they heard.
That's what they heard.
Yeah, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. So if you're not careful,
that's right. You
can definitely put out there the wrong message. You know, and it's funny, you hear parents say, I don't know where they got that from. And you look at them like, are you sure you don't know?
Yeah, right.
They pick up your mannerisms. They pick up the way you express yourself, and it becomes a part of who they are.
It's a little weird seeing yourself in your child, isn't it?
It is. It's remarkable. It's scary. It's eerie all at the same time.
And it's very cool.
Yeah. No, like I said, that's the highlight for me of each day, is just getting to watch them, spend time with them, interact with them. And it takes you back to a place of innocence, even if for a short period of time.
Well, as much as I love hearing about your family, let's get back to the music for a bit, because you promised me at the beginning that you're going to win me over to rap. I can't honestly say that you've accomplished that yet. You have won me over to who you are, to Jelani Latif. That much I am completely a fan of.
Well,
what's it going to take for me to become a rap fan? What's it going to take for me to be won over on that? Because remember, I love melody.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Like I said, if you only go by what you see on television or, you know, what you read about, then you'll get this false impression that all rap music is like that. But I know producers of rap music that are just as good of a musician as anybody in rock, as anybody in rhythm and blues. The music that I tend to make or listen to, like I said, it's called conscious music. This means that it's music that has a more thought-provoking message to it, but it's still rhythmic. It's still something that, if you like dancing, you know, you can dance to it. If you just like to just listen, like put the headphones on and just absorb it, you can do that as well. So there is musical integrity within hip-hop, because you have people that are serious, trained musicians or self-taught, but that take the melody, that take the composition of music very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And then you top that with a message. And I think because for non, you know, daily rap listeners, the delivery of the lyrics can go pretty fast. But the type of artist that I listen to and even the type of music I make, if you actually saw the lyrics written out on paper, you would look at it and say, wow, they really are saying something. And it's very poetic. And it's always a reflection, not always, but the type of music that I'm into is a reflection of what's going on around us, but in a very thought-provoking way. So, I mean, it's poetry over rhythm. That's really what rap music is, when it's done the right way.
Okay, all right. Well, let me see if we can take this to the nth degree, and I'll just lay out there where I'm coming from, and we'll see if there's a way to tie it in, okay? For me, literally, my strongest sense is my audio sense. Mm-hmm. My eyesight is not terribly good. My left eye, I'm basically blind in. My right eye, I can see with glasses, but that's about it. I don't really see great. I see okay. I can drive, you know, I can do that kind of stuff. I can work at a computer, but wow. I don't see really, really great. But my sense of sound is fabulous, to the point where I can hear a song, or I can hear a symphony, or I can hear a big band, or whatever it might be, And then later on, when that song comes back to me, I hear the entire orchestration in my mind. Not working at it, but that's just the way I normally hear stuff in my mind. That's the way I remember stuff. If you ask me what something looked like, I'll struggle. If you ask me what a scene looked like, I may be able to name, you know, 3 out of 20 items in the scene. But ask me how the melody is structured and how the counterpoint is structured and what instruments were involved and all that kind of thing, and I've got the whole thing down pat. And for me, that's intellectually fun. It's emotionally fun because I can just tie into any of my favorite pieces of music instantly, hearing the entire range of all of the orchestration going on.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Who are some of your favorite artists? Just any genre.
Let's see. I love Mozart.
Okay.
And I very much love Chopin, among the classicals. Okay. In pop music, some of my favorites. Well, I like everybody from like Simon and Garfunkel up until the more popular rock and roll, the Beatles and the Stones and so forth. I don't really like too much of the heavy metal. I mean, there are a few pieces in there that I can handle, but most of them I'm not crazy about. A lot of the music, we mentioned the 70s before, a lot of the music from the 70s is extremely negative. I can't even listen to it anymore.
Right, I just can't handle it.
I love swing music. I'm a swing dancer, and I love swing music. I love the upbeatness of swing, particularly the faster pieces. I love both the big band and I love the 50s swing.
Okay, so I'm going to say this. The unique thing about rap / hip-hop music is that it's able to sort of morph itself into all of the genres and all of the things you just named. So I know with the Paul Simons and certainly the John Lennons and Paul McCartneys, these are all good writers, and they had a message. And that's kind of the nature of hip-hop, again, when it's done the right way, is that there is a message in it. It's just a matter of finding something that's relatable to you, whether you identify with it personally or you hear it and say, okay, I see where that person's coming from. And I think that rap, what makes rap different from other genres, it gets right to the point. Meaning, okay, you know, with music, sometimes you can get caught up in the melody, sometimes you can stretch one word, you know, for 3 or 4 counts, it takes a while to get to the point, or for you to put it all back together.
Okay.
But with rap music, I mean, again, if you're not trained to listen to it, it sounds like, okay, they're talking really fast. But once you catch the rhythm of it and really just tune into the words, you'll realize just how poetically beautiful it can be.
I suspect part of what I have to do is be willing to treat it somewhat differently from the stuff that I love, because I'm so expecting the melody, I'm so expecting the counterpoint, I'm so expecting the chording and all that stuff.
I probably have to
put those expectations aside.
Yeah, because the key to rap, the beat is the draw, the hook is what people are going to remember, but what makes rap what it is the fact that the person's rapping, which is just another word for talking, for expressing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the lyrics are very important part. So, for example, just to kind of quote some lyrics from my song, Forward Advance, and I'm going to say it slow. I'm not going to say it the way I say it on the song.
Well, we'll do it both ways. Do it slow so that I know what you're saying, and then show me what it's like the other way.
Okay. So this is the second verse to Forward Advance, and this was just me reflecting on my daughter. So I say, my baby girl motivates me to move, even when I'm frustrated. I have to keep a table with food, refuse to be a deadbeat dad. That ain't the plan. I'm going to make her life better. So I'm going to take a stand and protect her by all means, teach about all things, tell her follow your dreams, even if it may all seem impossible. You can get whatever you want. Those around you may never see the level you're on and start hating. I witnessed it firsthand. The jealous hearted tried to talk me down. I should have stuck with my first plan, but never again. If you're not in my corner, then you're going to be the one I'm swinging at. So test if you want it. It's not a game. It's more than survival from day to day. I'm playing my cards. I hope that I'm holding the ace of spades. I'm going to strike hard. Got to keep straight. A clean break from the drama to know that my daughter can sleep safe. So what I'm saying in that verse is, like I started off, my baby girl motivates me to move. When I said to you earlier that that's who inspired me.
So it comes through clearly when you say it at that pace so that I can follow what you're saying. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so that, I mean, and that's a lot of words. That's just one verse. You wouldn't get that in most songs. You know, that's a lot of words to pack into just one verse, meaning there's two more verses of things that I'm saying.
Now, what's the normal pace that you do that at?
Now, this particular song is that we count in beats per measure. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so a lot of the music that I do because of the message is between the ranges of 92 and 100.
Oh, okay. So it's not terribly quick then.
No, it's not, because, you know, if it moves too fast, for one, it's hard to deliver that mm-hmm. many words at that tempo. And then, two, it's harder to follow that way. So typically, unless it's a dance song, if it's a dance song, then you'll probably use less words, and you'll probably just kind of ride the rhythm and just, you know, it's just something for people to kind of listen to while they're dancing, but the focus isn't necessarily on the message, it's on the music, and you're just almost like a live DJ. You know how a DJ may be, you know, come on everybody, you know, throw your hands in the air, so the song may literally sound like that, because it's mm-hmm. just a you know, a call and answer thing to get people inspired to dance. But the type of music that I make with, again, quote-unquote conscious rap, it's about the message in it, so you don't want to go too fast, because people aren't going to catch everything.
Mm.
You know, and when you write the way I write, which is I use a lot of words, it flows, you know, it rhymes, but I'm saying a lot, so I need a tempo that I'm comfortable being able to deliver it, and that you'll be able to pick up on exactly what I'm saying.
You know, Jelani, we're out of time. If it weren't for that, I think if I had more time, you probably would win me over. But unfortunately, we have to draw the line right there. Jelani Lateef, thank you so much for telling your story today and joining us here on LOA Today. It's been absolutely a pleasure hearing from you.
Likewise. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk.
And please tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
You can go to my personal website, which is actually www.jelanilateef.com. And once you go there, you can get the links to my Facebook page. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on any and every avenue of getting music. I'm on iTunes, Amazon, you name it, I'm there.
Let's spell Jelani Lateef so everybody knows.
Absolutely. So that's J-E-L-A-N-I. That's Jelani, L-A-T-E-E-F, Lateef, all one word, JelaniLateef.com.
All right. Jelani, thanks so much for joining me. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
just put